Wellness Wednesday is a presentation of Sunrise Broadcasting, LLC. Reproduction, rebroadcast, or any use of Wellness Wednesday without the prior express written consent of Sunrise Broadcasting, LLC is strictly prohibited. Program content, information, and opinions expressed are those of our guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of WAVL and Sunrise Broadcasting, LLC. All information presented here is not meant to substitute or replace information from healthcare professionals. Please consult your healthcare provider before using any products or services mentioned on this program. And now, here's the host of WAVE's Wellness Wednesday, Cindy O.
All right, good morning, everybody, and happy Wednesday. Thanks for joining us in this June Mental Health Awareness Month that we are going to keep going. I know May was technically Mental Health Awareness Month, but we're going to pull it through to June because our sponsor for this month, the Girl Scouts of Northwestern Great Lakes, wanted to focus on some mental health. So I thought, let's theme this up. And I have another one of my good friends in here today, and he brought a good friend with him, Patrick Bacher, CART Crisis Professional from North Central Healthcare. Welcome, Patrick.
Good morning. Thank you.
So tell everybody what, again, you know, explain who you are and what you are and what you do.
So I'm employed by North Central Healthcare from the Crisis Center. That's a behavioral health branch of North Central Healthcare Services. And Crisis helps people in a mental health crisis.
Very good. And who did you bring with you today?
I brought Officer Eric Lemorand, who is my CART law enforcement partner.
Hello, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. So tell us, what is your position and what you do with Patrick here?
Sure. So first, let me just explain what CART is. CART is the Crisis Assessment and Response Team, which is why Patrick and I are together. So I am the law enforcement portion of that team. And so because when it comes to mental health crisis and emergency detentions, statutorily, both of us have to be there. Both of us have to sign the paperwork and say, yes, we agree that this person's rights should be taken away. Nobody can take away somebody's civil rights in the United States except for a police officer. So ultimately, I'm there to discuss the cases with Patrick and typically agree that this person does need more mental health services than what they're being provided now and sign my name on the paperwork to take those rights away briefly enough for them to get assistance.
Sure. And this is new, right? CART is a newer?
Newer, relatively new, yes. It started in 2018.
Okay, so good. And we'll talk about this in a little bit more details coming up.
Sure.
But because you guys are new, we have to start you proper, and we have to ask you the questions. So we'll start with Pat, and then we'll have Eric answer too. So these are going to be abbreviated also since we got two people. But Patrick, when I say wellness, what does wellness mean to you?
To me, wellness means self-care. It means maintenance for like all aspects of your life, personal, physical, your mental health, your checking in with your supports, with your family, just kind of, you know, keeping yourself healthy in general.
Wonderful. Eric, what does wellness mean to you?
So I really did myself a disservice by letting him go first, because now any answer that he has that I like, it just makes it seem like I'm copying him.
Well, I'll give you a spoiler alert. Pretty much everybody answers the same thing in just a couple different words. Okay. So you are totally okay.
I would agree. The self-care portion, making sure that you're taking care of your body, because it's the only body that we have. It's the only body we're going to get. And we want to be out there with our best self, and for us, for those around us. So to tend to our mental health, to make sure that we can cope with life stressors, to be physically active and have our body physically fit so that it can do what it needs to do to keep us healthy and keep us alive. Wellness, to me, the word just means all-encompassing of all, you know, all those things.
Very good. And that, again, like I said, that is kind of the theme, is balance. So getting all those avenues into your life.
Yes.
And we're going to just like rapid fire right into the second one. So we'll start again with Pat and go around. But what do you do for your own wellness to keep yourself well?
I have a lot of interests that I like to participate in outside of work. I like being outdoors. It's summer, so I'm boating a lot. I hike usually every week with a few friends. We hike up Rim Mountain, and it's social and it's some exercise. I'm trying to eat better. as Eric just said, you only have one body, and you know, you need to take care of yourself that way. But I would say time with people that I care about and being outdoors helps me stay well.
Very good. And how about you, Eric? What do you do for your own wellness?
I call Patrick.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
And you guys go boating together.
Right. He talks me down. No, I I have a family that I love spending time with, whether that's my immediate family or my extended family that's in the area. I'm an aviation freak. I'm a pilot. I've got an aviation degree. So I love airplanes. I love flying. The peacefulness of that is by far one of the best things in this world. You're up in the air. You're kind of looking down on it. You have to focus on what you're doing in the aircraft. I don't get to do it a lot, but that is my ultimate wellness tactic, if you will. Other than that, it's relaxing, watching TV, talking to friends, going for a drive, anything that's going to get me out of the spot that I'm in if it's a negative experience for me.
Okay. So we're going to take our little break. We're going to hear from the Girl Scouts, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how you guys help others with their wellness. And make sure you guys stick around for this and make sure you get into the podcast because there's a lot of information with these two that we're going to not be able to cover on air. So we will be right back, though. We'll take our little break and we'll be right back with you. All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out and sticking with us today. We are talking with Patrick Bacher, CART Crisis Professional from North Central Healthcare, and he has brought his CART officer, Eric Lemeron, from the Wausau Police Department, and we just asked him about wellness, and they follow the same path pretty much as everybody else. It's about balance and getting out and being social, which is really important to our topic of mental health, right? So you guys have both. Patrick, I know you've got a long time with mental health. Officer Lemeron, how long have you been associated with mental health?
Well, you know, that's kind of a tricky question, right? Because in law enforcement, we're always dealing with mental health. I've been a law enforcement officer for 15 years, so I've been, I would say, dabbling in it for that long. But I've been on the CART team since January of 2022, where I've really been just enthralled in it and able to absorb it. For me, it's freaking awesome. It really is, because there's so much to learn. I ask Patrick so many questions because I don't know, and he usually does, that I love learning about it because it's really interesting. I love the human brain and how it works, positively and negatively.
Sure. And I know last week we talked with Mike Frankel, and you and Mike used to work together at the community clubhouse, right? And so he talked about you a little bit and that you guys have split up. But give us a little bit about your background and how you guys start with what the mental health wellness that you guys are doing now.
So I've worked in mental health for 13 years, and I worked in the Community Corner Clubhouse program and did case management for clients with mental health conditions. And it was all about socialization. Oftentimes, if you have chronic mental health issues, you're going to isolate and not leave your home, and that can increase the effects and symptoms of mental health that you don't want to have. So we kind of had an environment where it encouraged people to come in, and we had planned activities and things that they could work on. We helped with employment support, with housing, with resources in the community. That was kind of our role, was to help people without resources connect to resources.
So how has it changed now to what you do now? So what does it look like? Somebody is having, how did they get a hold of you? Is there a crisis happening? Do they call you? Does a neighbor call you? Like, how do you guys get involved?
Oftentimes family members call. Oftentimes the person themselves will call. We have a 24-hour hotline. We take referrals from anyone and everyone. It doesn't mean that we can act on every referral. Someone needs to be willing to speak with us. But we, as a CART team, we also get calls from dispatch. So the responding officers might know something that's happening, and then we'll arrive and do what we call an assessment, just to kind of make sure that the person's safe. Are they having thoughts of self-harm? Are they having thoughts of harming others? And we go from there. It's kind of like a triage for mental health. If someone is off of their medications or doesn't have any services, if someone needs appointments for psychiatry or needs a referral to have case management in place, we attend to what does this person need right now to be safe.
And so people could come both ways, right? So somebody might call 911 because of who knows what. And that's why you guys come together to find out if it is a mental health emergency or if it is just a law enforcement issue or somebody's just
not being good. Yes, kind of like a medical ER, but we go to them.
Okay.
So we do, it's acute. It's what do they need, right? Like Petra said, what do they need here now, and how can we best help them to either resolve the crisis or move them to the place that they can find help to resolve the crisis.
Sure. And for our on-air portion, we run out of time so fast, but so I want, I don't even care which one of you, whoever wants to be the spokesman here, tell us how to get a hold of you, what the phone number is, what the websites, who you are again one more time as we go off air, and then we're going to talk more details about this in the podcast. So you guys listening, there's way more information you're going to get. Come back to WAVLFM.com and get the rest of this later on. But Patrick, take us out on this portion and let us know how to get a hold of you.
Sure. So the crisis hotline through North Central Healthcare is 715-845-4326. And that is open 365 days a year and around the clock. We are staffed with mental health professionals around the clock.
And I would guess, too, this is Google-able, right? Like, you Google...
It is. Or you could search for North Central Healthcare or crisis line.
Okay. And in the event of these things are too far away from you, 911, right?
Yes, always 911. Always 911, okay. Yep. Or the non-emergency number if it's not an emergency.
And our doors are also open around the clock. So if someone is identifying that they're in a mental health crisis themselves, you can walk right in. You can bring a family member if they're agreeable to that as well.
Okay, very good. All right, we're going to get some more details. Thank you so much, guys, for coming in.
Thank you.
Have, again, Patrick Bacher, CART crisis professional with North Central Healthcare, and CART officer Eric Lemeron from the Wausau Police Department. Thank you so much, guys, and we're going to keep going on the podcast. Everybody tune back in on that, and hopefully we get to get you guys back in here and talk again and see what's going on in the community in a couple months.
We'd love that.
All right, perfect. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we are on the podcast side of our discussion today with Patrick Bacher, CART crisis professional from North Central Healthcare, and CART officer Eric Lemeron from the Wausau Police Department. We got a package duo here. So you guys are like the Wonder Twins, right? Are you the only, and it's funny too, because if you guys could see them, they're about 2 feet in height difference. And but are you guys the only team, or are you one of many?
There's another team, Deputy Jackie White and Chuck Christel. Jackie works for the county, works for Marathon County, and Chuck, of course, works for the healthcare center as well. We do the same things. I'm deputized. She comes in the city and takes calls. Really, our service area is the city of Wausau and Marathon County. When I say that, meaning the sheriff's jurisdiction of Marathon County. So Minot, Rothschild, Weston, Schofield, those other outlying cities. Now, we can respond to them, but there's a different type of response if we were to go to those communities.
Okay. But so there's not a lot of you then, is what
I'm hearing. Just the four of us.
Okay. So, and that's new, right? You said like since 2018?
2018, yep.
Okay. And was this a community decision, or like how did this become a thing? Did you sit around, you know, you go to crisis calls and then, and this is like for you, Patrick, like it, you guys were like, we need more help?
It's a movement nationwide, but there are surprisingly few cities in Wisconsin or communities that have a CART team. So you have to kind of put yourself in a client's perspective. The client may have, because of chronic mental health, may have negative impressions of law enforcement. So when we work together, we work out of an unmarked squad. Eric is plain clothes. He certainly still has a badge with him and a firearm, but does not have like
the vest and all the stuff,
the full uniform, because that can be triggering to some people. When we work with law enforcement, we always just remind people that we're seeing that person on what could be their worst day, not their best day. So the vehicle's unmarked, then we're not elevating any of, they're already going to be experiencing some anxiety. So we meet and just kind of find out what they need right now in the moment. If they're safe, we talk about that. We make safety plans. We offer follow-up contact. We refer them to counseling or psychiatry. We also help make sure that working with different community partners, that all the pieces of their care team are still in place and still functioning.
Okay. And I know like mental health in general gets a negative thought all the time.
Yeah.
You think of mental health and you immediately go out all those negative places. So this is to combat that too, right?
Yes.
Because there's got to be, and this would be more for you, Officer Lemeron, that there's got to be lots of people in jails that really don't need to be in jail.
Yeah, so I'll take it back a step to your original question of kind of the nexus of it. At that time, we needed more mental health support in our community. Even from a cost perspective, for us to detain somebody, put them in the inpatient unit, is costly for the county, especially if they don't have insurance. And so understanding that we're struggling with a mental health crisis, I want to make sure your listeners don't hear this as it's a cost issue, because it's not, but that's a factor. So as we try to resolve the community mental health crisis, as well as budgetary issues, we go, okay, how can we lessen this? So how can we prevent people from needing these services and get to them sooner, as well as helping the underlying numbers? And through that, the Marathon County Sheriff at that time thought that the great idea is this CART team, where we can go out and we can meet the people where they're at. So this explanation isn't probably textbook, because Patrick and I weren't part of the team back then. In fact, only one original member is still standing, and that's Chuck. But I've been with it long enough, as well as some of us, to kind of understand that. And so they looked at what services can we provide. This is what's called the Memphis model, where you have a law enforcement officer paired up with a crisis professional that are permanently together. Patrick and I are together Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, every day of the week, every shift, unless one of us has to take off or he has to do something, whatever. And because of that, we're able to respond directly to the scene, because we found that when someone's experiencing a mental health crisis, if a law enforcement officer shows up in full uniform with a tactical vest and all the tools out to be seen in a marked squad car with possibly lights and siren, depending on how bad the crisis is, that's really not beneficial to that person. Sometimes it doesn't matter.
That's not really beneficial to anybody. I mean, I don't even care who you are shows up at your house. You're going to be amped up a little bit.
That's a bad day, right? Yeah. We strive to not make people's days worse than what they're already experiencing. Again, like Patrick said, typically the police officer is standing in front of you because you're having a bad day, if not the worst day of your life. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how can we lessen that impact, that mental impact, visual impact, and really mental health is trying to be more people-centered. Well, then we need to do what's beneficial to the person. So they created the team. Again, I have an unmarked squad. I do have tools, but not like a uniformed officer would. I'm really much more low-key. In fact, the only reason why I don't have just regular like slacks on and a normal shirt is because I can't stand picking out my clothing every day.
So
I
right, uniforms.
I wear this quasi-uniform so that I don't have to decide.
Sure. And there's something to be said for that.
Side note. So in that, they tried this and they found it to be beneficial. Each year since 2018, the emergency detentions have dropped by about 13 to 15% consecutively, while calls for service have gone up.
Okay.
So you're definitely seeing the cross a path of these numbers. And I believe when we started, there was somewhere around 374 emergency detentions between the city and county in 2018. And last year was like 107.
Okay, because that was going to be my next question. Is like, do you have any kind of a reference to how it's working? So
yes.
That's awesome, because I would feel that this should be a really great way to combat these problems.
It is. And of course, we got to prove that though, right? We got to be able to say why it's effective and how it's effective. So we look at calls like juvenile disturbances, where a juvenile is acting out. Maybe they don't want to go to school. Maybe they're at school and they're having a crisis. We look at welfare checks that we're called to. We look at just regular mental health calls. So these are all calls that are coded in our computer dispatch system. And you look at really those numbers. And again, you compare it to the emergency detentions that are given out throughout the year. And the numbers look fantastic for the program. And that's really a credit to the system. That's a credit to the healthcare center, to the police department, to the sheriff's department, because we're being really efficient and effective at what we do. I started to say, you know, you have the fully uniformed officer in the marked squad car. Now you're saying someone who's having mental health, there's a great potential that they've had negative interactions with law enforcement. So that in and of itself could be triggering. Now you're saying, get in the back of the squad car and the plastic seats in the cage where the criminals ride. Let me help you. That's not very
right,
conducive
that's not
to help.
What they think is happening.
And so let's get rid of that. And let's be, like I said, a little more tamed down. The back of my squad, although I do have a partition between the driver's area and this passenger's compartment, it's mainly because of the tools that I have in the squad and just for my safety. But if they're not being combative, if they're just really just having a bad day, they can ride with me. The seats are soft. It's a normal quote. There's not bars on the windows like the marked squad. So take this out. Take all this tactical stuff out. And let's not treat them like a criminal. Let's treat them like somebody who's suffering from some mental crisis.
And you have all of the things if it does progress to that portion.
Right.
You're ready for it, but you're not starting out there.
Right, correct. Yeah. If they're being dangerous to themselves or somebody else and we can't get them under control, they may go in wrist restraints. They may ride in the back of the squad car with the cage. that's for their safety and our safety. We don't want to do it, but sometimes the people, they just can't help it either. And so ultimately we will, but we don't want to start there. And we had been starting there, and that's not, again, very person-centered.
It's easier to calm them down when they're already calm than amp them up first and then try to settle them down before you go to the next thing.
And somebody gets hurt in the process, and that's the worst, right?
Right. And do you have, Patrick, do you have any, like, after... I mean, you said you help them to get into maybe programs and doctors and things like that. Is there like a follow-up aftercare to any of this? So you guys go out on a call, do you?
There is, and there can be, depending on the situation, if you're able to safety plan, say maybe the person was upset and through the assessment process, you determine that they are safe to stay home, that there's no criteria for hospitalization. We typically set up 3 days of follow-up calls where the crisis center will call, check in, you know, are you feeling safe at home? Are you having any suicidal thoughts? And follow up that way. And then sometimes, as a CART team, we'll go out and check in on people who may have just been hospitalized and then didn't show for an appointment. So we kind of follow up just to make sure that people are getting that care they need. And Eric had touched on the least restrictive. So when we're speaking about detentions, that's really going to be our last goal. Like, if someone is agreeable to treatment and wants to come to the hospital voluntarily, we do pursue that because we want to, we have to, it's Wisconsin law, to give people the least restrictive treatment that they're agreeable to.
Sure. And I would guess that medications and, I mean, it's an infinite amount of variations that could happen at any of these calls, but you're starting out in a place of calm more so and trying to get them the help instead of just showing up hot and taking them down and throwing them in the back of the car and dealing with it later.
And sometimes it's not the calm. Sometimes it's the storm that we walk into. What's effective for Patrick and I is, one, again, our appearance, and two, our familiarization with either the client or just the situation. I'm really no different than any other patrol officer that's out there in a fully marked squad, other than the knowledge that I've gained on the job in doing this. But they also recognize that. And so when they know when we show up that there's probably some expertise that they don't have. And usually Patrick and I will go in and, if it's safe, dismiss the officers, at least just out of the room if I need them to stick around because we're not sure what's going to happen. But we definitely try to be the calm in the storm, regardless of how bad the storm is.
Good. Is there anything that you guys are looking for currently? Are there any like fundraising efforts, officers that you're looking for, healthcare professionals? You know, like, is there any people that you need? Do you have volunteer opportunities? Not necessarily, obviously, to go out with you guys on calls, but.
We don't have volunteer opportunities, but there are positions open in mental health care at North Central Healthcare. And there is rotation of staff and in different roles that I've noticed that we have. We also always are working on our relationships with community partners, like the women's community, like the Neighbor's Place, other funding sources, people who receive a case manager either through the county or through North Central or through Inclusa. We always try to work together closely with our community partners.
Okay, so you're always open to assistance and new partners, right? Like if somebody is in the mental health or any healthcare facilities and they are looking for something else, or is there a future for more teams like you guys, or is it like we're kind of maxed out here? We're not a huge population.
Right.
But
right.
Is that something in the future that you'd be looking for more teams?
So that's, as he brought that up, it leads me to this of when our previous mayor, Katie Rosenberg, came into office in 2020, she had the policing task force. Many of your listeners may remember it, some may not. Really, it was just an in-depth look at the Wausau Police Department, how we were operating, were we being efficient, were we being appropriate. And one of the great things that came out of that, because it turned into a positive experience for us, for the community, for the mayor's office. And one of the things that came out is the community stakeholders want CART expanded. We don't have the capacity right now. What they thought is not necessarily to have an officer crisis professional team, but more have another crisis professional that would maybe sit at the police department on the off hours, because we work Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. That's when the hottest times usually are regarding mental health calls. And in those off times, so in the evenings, nights, maybe on the weekends, to have a crisis professional sitting at the PD waiting for these calls to come in so they can assist the officers. Typically what happens if they're at the healthcare center, they're really busy and they don't have time to come out on the road. So we're hopeful that in the near future, as the crisis center gets fully staffed, that maybe that's still a possibility because that's really what the community wants. And again, we could just, that's just an added bonus to the services that we provide to really help.
Sure. So we want to expand this. We just have some hurdles to get there, but
correct.
But it's a start.
It is.
So it's moving forward. The program's working.
It is.
You can show that, like you have numbers and things to back it up. And you guys out on the street, like you've noticed the difference as well, I would guess, right? Like you maybe don't see the same people in that heightened capacity as correct. You would normally see them. You still maybe see them, but they're not as intense.
Yes. We see them in a different level. Maybe a lower crisis, maybe no crisis, but still in need of assistance. And that's really one of the cool things about CART is we don't always see them when they're having a crisis. Maybe, like Patrick said, we're following up with follow-up calls. Maybe we've been asked by a case manager to visit them because something's just off with their routine or their medication. And that's really where the beauty of it lies, because we don't expect them to reach that crisis before they interact with us. We can meet them where they're at, physically and mentally, where they're at to help them resolve whatever issues they're having or whatever issues may arise, and just kind of be that all-encompassing. We don't case manage. We can't be there every day, but we can go and tend to little, I will call them proverbial fires that erupt in some of our individuals that we see, and before they escalate into the proverbial forest fire. And I don't mean any disrespect with mental health, but that's kind of the mental image that I think of when I look at what the services we do.
And I would think the benefit would, even just that tiny one of knowing you guys previously.
Yes.
Like you came in, you were nice, you helped them, you weren't throwing them around, you weren't locking them up. Now they know they can call you in the future. Yes. So maybe before that gets to that point, they could be like, hey, I'm going to call Patrick and he's going to talk to me and I'm going to be okay today.
Yes, we've had people that will only talk to us, or they will act out for officers, but when we get there, they go, okay, I know them, or hey, I want to talk to Patrick and Eric, or Chuck and Jackie, or, you know, that, which is the point, relationship and rapport building, because once you have relationship and rapport, amazing things can be done.
Yeah, and obviously the whole point of this is to help these folks that are in these mental health crises, and mental health is not necessarily a curable thing, right? Like, this is kind of a lifetime with you, depending on what the things are and what your medications are. So to have friends in the community has got to be enormous for these people. Like, I would feel if there's any one benefit, that would be the one, that they know that they have people they can call that aren't going to be mean to them.
Yes. Yes, and especially with Patrick's tenure. And feel free to jump in.
Well, sure. So, and also a big part of North Central Healthcare's whole focus is to be person-centered. So certainly mental health professionals should be kind and polite and courteous to anyone in a mental health crisis.
And that wasn't always the case. I mean, like, just, you know, historically, if you look at like the history of asylums and things, again, to go negative, but they were not nice places. We don't want to do that again. We want to help people and help them be productive members of society.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And you can help them transition into that as well, like get them stabilized, and then maybe they can go get a job. Maybe they can do things, right?
And explaining to people that mental illness is not always a mental crisis.
Right.
People are allowed, if I can take the leniency, people are allowed to be mentally ill and not be committed. That's probably one of our biggest battles on CART is we have family or friends call up and say, my loved one needs to go inpatient or needs your attention. And so we go talk to them or we go interact with them. And it may not even be a proper assessment by Patrick because it's not necessary. But we go, yeah, they're ill, but you know, as a law enforcement officer, I have three very specific reasons why I can take away somebody's civil liberties, because doing that, detaining somebody, is the same thing in my book and in the law as an arrest. And so they're ill. I understand they're ill and I understand there's problems. I understand it's really an inconvenience for your family or whatever the relationship is. Unfortunately, at this time, I don't have a way to, or a reason to intervene, because being mentally ill is not illegal. Walking around town, doing things that are not dangerousness, but odd, is not illegal. And I cherish my civil rights. I wouldn't want a law enforcement officer to walk into my home and drag me out for no reason because my neighbor said something. I cannot do it with people with mental illness either. And that's the hardest part, really, of this position for me. And Patrick can, you know, agree or disagree. But for me is having to explain to somebody that we're unable to help their loved one at this time. And it might have
in that capacity.
In that capacity. And it might have to get worse. Because again, I have strict guidelines that I have to follow for a reason. The law states three very good reasons. Outside of that, it sucks. It sucks because I tell them, usually some of the first words out of my mouth is, I understand. And if this was my family member, I would be asking me the same thing. And that's why I want to explain it in depth so that you understand. It's not that we don't want to. We can't. Yeah.
But you can get them in touch with people that can help them if they are willing and if it is necessary.
Correct.
And I would think coming at them in that direction, too, would be like, well, yeah, I'll go talk to somebody. Like, why not? What do I got to lose? It's not negative. It's not bad. And
sometimes, you know, as we face a lack of reality for some of these individuals, that's hard. If someone said you're purple, you need to go to this place to get on purple, and you go, I'm not purple, and you see yourself not purple, they don't see themselves typically as mentally ill. Especially as they get sicker and sicker and sicker. So convincing them of that is the hard part. And so that's where all that kind of ball of struggle comes in of, I see it, you see it, they don't see it. And until it gets to a certain point, we can't do anything. We can try. Patrick's really good at talking to people. Patrick's really good at explaining things. There's just sometimes we just can't, and I hate that.
And that's, you're still the first step. So maybe when it does progress, they know they can count on you and lean on you, and that you guys weren't mean, and maybe you are a resource.
And we all touched a little bit on like reducing stigma. As you said, there is a lot of stigma in
still
the community about seeking and receiving help with mental health. So all of our programs, we try to reduce the stigma, and our presence, we make be at some events or visiting a community partner, and it's solely for that purpose of reducing stigma, stopping at a group home and just checking in and saying hello without a specific appointment to assess someone reduces that stigma. Radio programs discussing mental health reduce that stigma as well.
Yeah. Do you guys ever go out and do like presentations?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Because if not, we should work on that because that seems like that would be a good thing.
Yes, we do.
So is there anything coming up where you guys will be at that the community could come and
I don't believe so. Typically, it's their private like groups that say, hey, can you come in and talk to us? We, us and the other team kind of switch off with doing a new hire presentation for the new employees at the healthcare center to explain CART. A lot of times CART kind of gets lost in the shuffle and people forget that we're here to use. You know, this podcast is something unique that I've never done before. I don't think Patrick has either.
I never have.
Which is awesome. It's fun. So we enjoy those opportunities. The most prevalent opportunity we have is speak to the media, which usually is me, just the leeway that I have in my position. But every once in a while, we'll get an invite to do a presentation.
Sure. So if there's a business or somebody is listening to us right now, and they would like, would it be like a company maybe with hiring things, HR issues, or so, anything like that? Would
anything. Anybody who wants their group to understand mental health and the services that are out there, that's us.
Okay, so just get a hold of you guys and you work out the details and you can come in and inform them.
Yes.
Yes.
Know what's going on.
Yes.
Okay. Well, and I think we're kind of getting to a point where we can call it for today, but as we go out, I would like you both to kind of take us out. Patrick, tell us again who you are, how to get a hold of you, where you are at, and then we'll go over to Eric and do that same thing.
Okay. Again. My name is Patrick Bacher. I am a crisis professional in a CART position with Officer Lemorand, and my office is at the PD. There's also an entire crisis center at North Central Healthcare, and they are staffed around the clock. Dispatch is obviously staffed around the clock, but calls to the crisis center, it's 715-845-4326, and we are open around the clock every day of the year.
And I'm Officer Eric Lemorand of the CART team, and the CART is the Crisis Assessment and Response Team. So it's a little redundant, I guess, to say CART team, right? And I am a police officer with the city of Wausau, and that non-emergency number to dispatch is 715-261-1200 or 7800. Otherwise, you can call 911 if there's a significant crisis that needs emergency attention. And we love doing this. We love interacting with people, whether it's on the mental health side or presentation side. So we appreciate the invite to do this today. Thank you for getting word out, and I'll come back. I'm sure we'll come back.
Yeah,
of
course, absolutely. Love for to sure. have you guys back again because there's always something going on, right?
Yes.
June Thank isn't you. The only month.
Yes.
So if you guys have things or maybe you're scheduled somewhere, let us know. We can tell the listeners that where they can come see you. And if anybody has any questions, well, hopefully they get in contact with you.
Yes. And I should note, too, they can find my email, Eric Lemorand, on the city website. It's under the police department. So sometimes I'll get emails, too. So calls, emails, however they need to get a hold of us, they can.
All right. thank you guys so much for everything you do, because I know I've known Patrick for a long time, and I've known he's done this. I never got to meet you before, Eric, so that's very cool.
Absolutely.
And you guys are very important. We have a tiny little town here. We're not a really big city, but we're big enough, and you guys are making a huge difference with this new program. So thank you very much for everything you do.
You're welcome. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks, everybody, for listening. And again, Patrick Bacher from North Central Healthcare and Officer Eric Lemoran from the Wausau Police Department. It's a pleasure having you today, and we will talk again in the future. Thanks, guys.
Great. Look forward to it.
Thank you.